This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. We've got bottom five coming up this hour, and we've had 15 weeks of the NFL to sort of process this. I was talking about Monday Night Football last night, and it does keep the Green Bay Packers' hopes of a playoff appearance alive. They are seated right now 10th. If you were to just sort of rank them and based on head-to-head and everything like that, they're 6-8. There's a little bit of a hill to climb just to even get into the on-the-outside-looking-in situation. But at least for them at 6-8, the only obstacles in front of them in terms of bubble teams are the Lions within their own division and the Seattle Seahawks, who are kind of reeling a little bit. If you are 6-8 in the AFC, look out. If you're the Steelers, for example, they are 6-8, but they have got three 6-8 teams ahead of them: Jacksonville, the Raiders, and the Browns. If you are one of those teams, you have got a 7-7 Patriots team and a 7-7 Jets team to be in front of or competing just to get to the door looking in to the final seven. Right now, the Chargers are 6. Miami is 7. You've got Baltimore in there as 5. Those are your wild card teams right now. Tennessee is 7-7, leading their division with Jacksonville behind them. Cincinnati is 10-4. And then the Bills and the Chiefs are teams that have already clinched a playoff spot in the AFC. We always knew this about the NFC. It was not as loaded in terms of what we were predicting as the AFC was. We kept saying over and over again, if you're in the AFC and you have a mediocre season, you know, with a few more wins and losses, but nothing too great, look out, because your path to the postseason is still going to be cluttered with some really good teams that might have double-digit wins but did not win their division. That's not the case in the NFC. If you're the Packers and you are 6-8 and you're coming off a Monday night win, you're just as viable as a bubble team right now than a reeling Seahawks team. Although my favorite of the group right now in terms of the way they're playing is the Lions. But if the Packers get their act together and win the next three games, they are going to be knocking on the door, and you never know who's going to be reeling from the final three. It could be Washington. It could be the Giants, who are 8-5-1. So it has really allowed for a larger conversation in terms of the playoff picture. But if you're in the AFC and you're 6-8 like the Raiders or the Browns and the Steelers, there's a lot of work, and you got to need a lot of help ahead of them. Speaking of the top teams, let's get to the top five when we come back. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for top five, bottom five, and we go top first in the after 15 weeks of the NFL. So I always say, like, this was a little difficult or this was a little easy. When it came to the teams that I wanted to put in the top five, I don't think that was difficult. We've kind of been doing the same teams. I think for me, it was a little difficulty in the order. I felt like I was punishing teams a little too much for their Week 15 performance without the overall body of work. And there's one team that, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, I just keep leaving out of this thing. So I'm going to get things started. And my number five team, this is why I told you I was going to struggle. This is where I put the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sorry, I have not liked the way Kansas City has played the last couple of weeks. They have had two victories against two lousy football teams. The Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans, who are in our bottom five all the time. And maybe it goes to show me, after all these years, how tough the NFL is. It's a lesson I should have already learned by now. But they won by one score against Denver after having a 27-0 lead, and they needed overtime to beat Houston, and they needed a Houston turnover that they turned into a touchdown in order to do so. All right, they lost to the Bengals. They barely beat the Broncos. They barely beat the Texans. They are still a Super Bowl favorite. They are still going to make some noise in the postseason. But today, I put them at 5.
You're not alone. I couldn't wait to do this, actually. I'm a little bit opposite of you. So right? If I can knock down a division winner, my division winner.
Sure, why not?
I will when I can. And I feel the same way. Last 2 weeks, they could have easily lost both of those games, and we would have sat there looking at them like, God, you're not even top 10 worthy.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine if they did lose to the Bengals, Broncos, and Texans in 3 straight weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, people have been what is this?
You know, and you look at that group, and like, one of them is not like the other. It's like, okay, I can give you the Bengals.
Yeah.
But the other two, that's unacceptable.
It is 3 straight road games, I will say, but nevertheless, they were two terrible football teams.
Terrible.
Terrible football.
You can't name me one player on the team, and the other one has a named player who, you know, for whatever reason, doesn't play.
Yeah, exactly. So Kansas City is your 5.
Yeah, Kansas City's my 5 as well.
All right, go to number 4. Okay, this is another place where I went, I like this team a lot, but where will I put them? And there was another team that I'm a little hesitant on now. But I kept them higher just because of the body of work. So my number 4 team is the Cincinnati Bengals. This team is red, red hot. Remember when they started 0-2 and everyone was like, what's going on with Cincinnati? And even Joe Burrow, as young as he is, he went, everything's all right, everything's fine. They lost to the Steelers, they lost to the Cowboys. They have now rattled off 6 straight victories. They've won 8 of their last 9. They beat the Buccaneers down 17 points, scored 34 until the Buccaneers answered with a late touchdown. So the Cincinnati Bengals, I wanted to move them higher. I want to move them higher because right now they are, like I said, red hot. But I'm keeping them at 4, Cincinnati Bengals.
No, I have the Bengals at number 4 as well. I moved them up a spot. They were 5 for me last week. You know, thankfully there was a team that was here that was easy to drop.
Right.
Because of a late last-minute pick 6 that they had to throw. Not naming any names.
Right.
Star on helmet.
I'm with you.
But no, I had the Bengals here. They're a scary team.
Really scary team.
And yeah. I mean, I look back over the course of the season and I sit there and I was like, man, did I ever flirt with the idea of putting them in the bottom 5 because of how bad they were playing at the beginning of the season? And the only thing I don't know is this. If this is their MO to another Super Bowl victory or road trip, I don't think this is sustainable, where you are terrible like the first quarter of the season and then you turn it on late.
Yeah, right. Exactly. This is, again, remember last year they kind of came on late and then they kind of caught it. And then everybody said, all right, you know, I like Joe Burrow as much as the next guy and I like Ja'Marr Chase as much as the next guy. But how many times have we seen this where a team is now on everybody's radar and things start to come, like teams start looking at you differently? They've handled that really well since those first two games. Since those first two games, which they turned the ball over a million times against the Steelers, and the Steelers still couldn't put them away until the very end. And then they just didn't play a very good game against the Cowboys. They just did not play particularly well at all. But ever since then, they've really been rolling. They got 2 losses, a close one to Baltimore, and then 1 to the Browns where they got kind of bombed. But nevertheless, they've been pretty steady since those first 2 losses. But I'm going to make an admission here on the next one. So with the next team that I'm selecting, it means that I've ignored yet again another team. So the 3, which I was going to put at 4, but I kept it 3 for the body work, is Philadelphia. I wasn't overly impressed with how they beat the Chicago Bears. Jalen Hurts ran for 3 touchdowns. He is hurt. As I said in hour 1, there's been some talk about how Nick Sirianni ran that offense or called that offense, or at least the organization, the coaching staff, called that knowing he was kind of hurt. But they still won the game. They have the best record in the NFL now. They are 13-1. This means that once again, I'm leaving the Minnesota Vikings out of my top 5. Because I don't have to tell you who I've got in the top 2, but it's in eight Minnesota. And yeah. I don't know why I can't do it. I don't know why a 33-point comeback can't do it.
I know why you can't do it.
I'm not doing it.
They had to come back from being down
from 33 down. Exactly. Exactly. You know, that's my rationale.
We can sit there and go, oh, my God, what a great team to come back from 33 down. No. Guys, no. You down let 33. Them get 33 down up first.
Yep. Against the Colts. Yeah, exactly.
And the only reason why you came back from 33 down is because Matt Ryan was on the other side of the field, and that's his thing.
That's his thing.
Don't take that thing away from him.
Exactly. So I'm putting the Eagles here at 3. Again, I just if when push comes to shove, I like 2 teams better than them right now.
Yep.
No, I'm so with that's you. Why
and
I'm doing
and here's the issue that I'm facing right now. I think I'm looking at my list. I'm looking at your list. I'm kind of predicting what your final two are going to be and in the order.
Yeah.
And I think it's a habit of us working together for as long as we've had.
That's probably true.
Because number three for me is also where I put the Eagles. And for the same reason. I wasn't that impressed with them, how they beat the Bears. And now you're saying, okay, Hurts is hurt. You know, kind of
our
funny
buddy Gardner Minshew is
Gardner Minshew is going to go in. It's Minshew mania time going up against the Cowboys.
Start
I'm excited for that.
And the bandana's going.
I'm excited for that.
Me
but
too.
At the same time, I feel like you're giving the Cowboys a cheap win, and I'm not. I don't like that.
I don't either.
But you know what? Philadelphia rest hurts. Rest them for as long as you need to. You're in the playoffs.
Don't worry. Yeah, you'll get a win. There'll be a win. You'll win with Gardner Minshew. You got a good enough defense. You run the ball well with Miles Sanders. You're gonna make that
and
combination work at some point in the final three games.
And I'm looking at the potential division winners, right?
Right.
You look at the potential division winners. Philadelphia, you have the worst field conditions.
Oh, no doubt.
What are we looking at? You're looking at if Dallas is to all of a sudden win a game, you gotta go play in a dome? Or you got to go play in San Francisco where it'll be might be a little breezy, but it's going to be warm. You know, Minnesota's in a dome, so don't fret there. Tampa's going to get one win. We all know who that's going to one win's going to be against.
Right.
So I wouldn't worry about needing home field advantage. You're going to be in nice stadiums.
You're going to be in nice stadiums is right. Good. So Philadelphia's three. All right, so two.
All right, here we go.
All right. I flipped them. Buffalo Bills are two.
Wow, okay.
I've been on the Buffalo Bills train the whole season long. But I'm drinking the Kool-Aid of my number one team. listen, it was a great win Saturday night. Good game. Eagle, you know what? I give the Dolphins a lot of credit. I really did not think the environment would suit them well for what they did. Tua Tagovailoa was good. It was not snowing in the for most of the game until the very end. But even then, it wasn't the downpour of snow like we thought, so that had some effect. They went to Buffalo, had a lead. The Bills had to come back from a 9-point lead, I believe, in the fourth quarter. And they did. Tyler Bass kicked the field goal that won it. Josh Allen's amazing. Threw all the touchdowns. Did everything Josh Allen is supposed to do. I love him. I love him. I like another team a little better. So Buffalo is two.
Yeah.
Call it 1B if you want. But that's
I hear you. I mean, mine's 1A, 1B as well, if you want to look at it that way. I am mixing the Kool-Aid right now. I'm not drinking it all the way because I have the Niners at number two.
Yeah, and I have the Niners at one.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about this.
And I have the Bills at one. So
my problem is this, and I just went, screw it. I've been talking high on this team. I think this defense is amazing. But you know what I'm doing? And this is where I cringe a little bit on my own thing. If I'm going by team, I think the Niners defense is going to carry them. But I'm putting Brock Purdy ahead of Josh Allen. And that's a little, it's a difficult pill for me to swallow. Eventually, Brock Purdy's going to throw three interceptions in a game, right? Or maybe he doesn't.
The bubble will finally burst.
The bubble will burst. It has to.
You know what? Listen, I'm liking Brock Purdy. Why can't he work out?
He should work out.
And that's the whole thing I'm looking at, right? Is why can't he be an effective quarterback? I'm not sitting there. He needs to put up Hall of Fame numbers. You know, he certainly doesn't need to do that. But he just needs to game manage. When you have a defense like that, just let them do all the work.
We thought the 49ers were a Super Bowl level team with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's not anything awesome.
No, he's not.
He's good enough, but he's not anything awesome. If Purdy's good enough, they're still a Super Bowl level team.
Yeah, he's been pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. I like that. I like that.
And I have the Bills at number one. I mean, what have we said about them already?
All amazing.
I think it's this. I watched a video the other day of Stefon Diggs, who gifted a 5-year-old that he's befriended over the course of this past season. Gifted him special cleats because for this 5-year-old, his father had passed away suddenly.
Oh, wow.
And he gifted him cleats with the specialty cleats that had a picture of his the father and the son together. So this guy, this kid, 5-year-old, or now he might be 6 now, has cleats that has a picture of his dad and him together.
That's pretty awesome.
And I'm just like, the caption of the video said, grab the tissues, or, we're cutting onions in here, or something like that. I'm like, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Just another reason for me to like the Bills, because not only are they good on the field, but they're doing amazing things off the field.
Did you see the video of Josh Allen with that girl,
yes,
special needs girl?
So God.
She gives him...
just, you know, that's another one. Grab the onions.
This is
cutting
great.
Onions.
So this young girl, special needs girl, she loves Josh Allen. She gets to meet Josh Allen. Josh Allen's like, oh my God, how are you? And she gives him a doll. I guess they had a doll made. It had an Allen
like,
jersey on it.
Maybe Build-A-Bear.
Build-A-Bear or something. Like and that, it had yeah. an Allen jersey on it. And she wanted to give it to him. And he goes, oh, thank you so much. And he goes to somebody. He goes, do you have a pen? And you're thinking he's going to sign it. And he gives it to her. And he goes, you sign your autograph on the bear for me. And she got this. She signed her name. She wrote her name on the bear. It was great. Allen was fantastic.
It's so simple.
Yeah, very simple.
That's the whole thing about it, too. And that was the whole message to that film, to that little video that was, like, it's so simple to be kind. I mean, just something so simple like that. That's a lasting memory for that girl.
Yeah. That girl got to give her autograph to Josh Allen, because Josh Allen wanted
her autograph.
And
it felt genuine, too.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It didn't come off like, you know, oh, let me just do this for the camera. It's like Josh Allen. I felt like watching that video, that bear is somewhere, like, in his office.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our top five. Now let's get to the fun of the bottom five. When we come back, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, now it is time for the bottom five, the worst of the worst in the NFL. Now, I'm going to borrow a little technique from Ron Culver, because sometimes when I do bottom fives, I kind of look at records and where terms. But sometimes Ron will take a team with a pretty good record, but he goes, you know what? I want to punish them. And he puts them in bottom five. And I've always admired that. Because I tend to take the easy way out, and you get a little bit more complex, and I think yours is more entertaining. So in 28 all the way to 32, I'm borrowing from you. This team is 7-7. This team has a chance to make the playoffs.
Ooh, I like this. Where this is going.
So this team is one of the teams that can make the playoffs this season. But I have to give it to them. The New England Patriots. It's still the dumbest play I've ever seen in the NFL ever in my life. And there's no way you are going to escape bottom five. You could have been 10-4, and I still would put you in bottom five for the dumbest play I've ever seen in my life. Is it on Jacoby Myers only? Sure. Is it on the Patriots organization for not having a solid enough offensive coach to make sure everybody got the message to play for overtime? Is it on Bill Belichick, who we said yesterday is like Colonel Jessup, and if his orders are always followed, then no one should have ever been danger on the base? And yet, somehow, Belichick didn't say, at the cost of your job, play for overtime. And apparently, Jacoby Myers missed the memo. Dumb, dumb, even more dumb. That's why you're 28 on my list.
I love that. Yeah, I can't argue with that at all. I mean, because that play alone is number one in people's, minds of worst play of all time.
I hope it lives in infamy.
Oh,
I don't care what the Patriots do. I hope it lives forever as just a bonehead stupidity.
It's got to. I saw someone, yesterday was a lot of fun because there were a lot of videos on there about that. And there was two that stood out. One was like, oh, this is a mirror image of Waterboy. When Adam Sandler throws it to the defender just so he can tackle him.
Right.
But my favorite was Frank Caliendo, who decided to provide the voices of Pat Summerall and John Madden calling that play.
Oh, my God.
And he just does a deadpan Pat Summerall, like, and he takes it back, just like that. And then after, why is the player, who caught the ball?
Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones, thank you. After he scores the touchdown, he does the John Madden voice. He goes, well, what you didn't see here is Jacoby Myers switched teams.
Right.
It was actually a perfect pass.
Seriously. I mean, if Jacoby Myers had money on the Raiders, it would have been more ridiculous than that stupid, stupid throw.
Yeah. Well, right. my 28 isn't as fun. I do promise to have more fun.
I borrowed it from you. So.
I like it. But number 28 for me, this is where I have the Rams.
Rams. Okay.
This has got to be the worst Super Bowl champion
it's pretty bad.
The following season I've ever seen.
It is pretty bad.
I mean, we've seen them like just missed, like the Falcons, I think, just missed the playoffs when they made the playoffs and didn't go anywhere. We've seen things like that. I mean, the Rams are eliminated from playoff contention, and we still have 3 weeks to go. They were eliminated, I think, by week three this year.
I'm telling you, this is going to be fun in a couple of years. People are really going to dissect what winning the Super Bowl meant, right? The value of all of that that came with it against the value of your future, right? And there'll be people who say it was all worth it, and there'll be people who say, well, not really, because look what happened to them.
Yeah, it's like Thanos at this point.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Exactly. There'll be a lot of analysis, and there'll be a lot of debate. Would you sacrifice everything in your future to win one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Some people will say, of course. That's the name of the game, right? And others will say, no, you should always have a fighting chance because you don't have to do that to win a Super Bowl. You can build to win a Super Bowl. But the Rams went with a strategy of completely all in. They're like I said, the Lions get their pick. The Lions get their first round pick this year, and it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be a good one. So...
It is. They sacrificed literally everything.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if the Rams are looking for a new head coach, not because Sean McVay gets fired, but Sean McVay's like, I don't want to stick around for this.
I don't want to do this. I'm not going to build again. Like, that's going to take forever.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this forever. I wanted to be in the playoffs every single year, vying for championships every single year. And now I'm in a position where one Cooper Kupp injury, Stafford gets hurt, and we're 4-11.
Exactly.
4-10. 4-10 from last night. Yikes. But because I had fun with the Patriots, I left one team out, and that was the Rams. I don't know why I give them a pass, but there's some other ones I wanted to get to. 29 is the Bears. The Bears have got to win a game at some point, right? This is now 7 straight.
Yeah.
They played the Eagles. All right. So I'm not going to fault them for that, but Justin Fields, I'm impressed with anybody with his running ability. But
was fantastic.
And his run was fantastic. And he does it all the time. He's got so many rushing touchdowns this year. That's like, they are the number one rushing team in the NFL because of him. It's not because of David Montgomery. It's because of him. And I'm as impressed with anybody. But call me old school. I just know these quarterbacks don't really work out for what you're trying to do to be successful. They get figured out. They get hurt. They make you win you some games, and they're exciting and fun, but in the end, it never turns out to be a championship level quarterback. But they're nothing. They got nothing else. There is nothing to root for other than this guy's development. They've got it's 7 straight losses now.
Yeah,
I think 7.
No, it's ridiculous.
And so the Bears are 29.
I do have the Bears somewhere on my list, but it's coming up, but not at number 29. 29 for me. This is where I've kept the Buccaneers. I kept the Buccaneers in my top, my bottom five from last week to this week.
Yeah.
And it simply is because of this. And the reason why they moved up, because I think I had them dead last week, but the reason why they moved up is because I think they're going to win their first playoff game. I do.
Yeah. It's wild, isn't it?
They're going to back their way into the playoffs. They're going to have home field advantage, probably with the losing record. And I imagine wholeheartedly that they're going to play the Cowboys and beat the Cowboys in that first playoff game.
Right.
Because it's the Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys.
You know, but this team is terrible. This team literally, the playoffs are going to fall in their lap because no one else in the NFC South can get their you-know-what together.
Are we looking at them similarly to the way we're looking at Golden State this year? Like, with Golden State, we're like, wow, they're not that good. And they're like, yeah, but don't worry about it. They'll get in the playoffs and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Are we doing that with the Buccaneers?
Fix. I think they can win one game in the playoffs just because of who the matchup's going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't
it's
have
the
them.
Cowboys.
And I'm with you. I don't think it's just get in and we'll see the magic.
No,
is starting to die out.
No, it'll just be because it's the Cowboys, because the Cowboys will find a way to lose this game.
Right, right. And then everybody will lose their mind.
And we'll be like, ha, I told you. Stephen A. Smith will laugh. And, you know, the whole country will rejoice.
If he's laughing on TV, like I saw I saw a clip of him laughing Monday about their loss to Jacksonville, he's going to die of a laughing heart attack if they lose to the Buccaneers in the playoffs. Like, you're going to need to give them CPR.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue bottom five because that's what we do. We have a lot of fun with it. When we continue, we're going to go 30 on up when we come back. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing bottom five because this is a lot more fun. But because top five is always cool, but you're talking about the best of the best. Now the bottom of the bottom. All right, number 30. They have not been eliminated from the playoffs yet, but they should have been almost immediately. And then 30 is the Indianapolis Colts. Because, man, that was a 33-0 lead they had at halftime. And Matt Ryan and the Colts blew that, and the Vikings won. And you know what? That's going to get you in the bottom five. I just didn't know where to put them. But that Jeff Saturday, remember when he won that first game and everyone was like, wow, Jeff Saturday and the Colts, how awesome is this? What a cool story. You guess anybody can just do it, right? Well, no, not anybody can just do it. Since beating the Raiders, they have now lost three straight, including to the Steelers. They did play the Eagles, Cowboys, and Vikings. These are playoff teams, so look, I'm not gonna go all out. But look at what happened to the Colts since Jeff Saturday arrived. They battled the Eagles pretty tightly, but they made some mistakes in that one and lost. The Steelers game, they should have won. They should have won that game. But then the Cowboys put up 54 on them with an explosion in the fourth quarter. Remember that? And then the Vikings came back from 33 down. So they, luckily for you, the Chargers are on deck for the Indianapolis Colts next Monday night. But 30th.
That's a good spot for them. That's a good spot for them. I thought a little differently.
Yes.
So we'll have to wait and see. But number 30 for me, I went a little unconventional with number 30.
Okay.
I did not go Patriots. That, by the way, is fantastic. I still love that one. But number 30 for me, because I'm kind of tired of talking about these teams.
Yes.
That at number 30, I have three teams.
Awesome.
I have the Bears, Broncos, and Texans. And simply because I'm tired of talking about them.
Yeah, they are.
They're always, right. They've been in our bottom five for so long. We already talked about the Bears. You know what? And I will do this. All right. Bears, you know, you almost got out of my bottom five simply because you took the Eagles to task, but you couldn't do it. Texans,
yeah.
I can't put you last. You almost knocked the Chiefs out for me.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
I know. All right. I've got them at 31, but I almost scratched them off, try to find another bad team that I'd have more fun with. But the Houston Texans are playing better football.
They are.
Like, they're playing better football.
And that's why I put them at 30. That's why it's like a three-team parlay at number 30. It's because, you know, we've talked about these guys ad nauseum. But the Texans are playing better. I'm starting to learn some of your names. Not really.
Good point.
But, you know, that's the point you're bringing us to.
Yeah, so I have Houston at 31 because you know what? But I left Denver out of the bottom five because they've now found their quarterback in Brett Rippon.
Oh,
apparently.
Hey, that's
so
I
could have just gone
that.
With Brett Rippon this whole time. Remember, the Broncos at one point needed to just score 18 or more points, and they would have been 8-1. I think at some like after nine games, if they had just scored 18 points or more, they would have been 8-1. Apparently, Brett Rippon can put them in the end zone. You know, it just they can find ways to score with Brett Rippon.
Matt, what, 25 points?
So, I got rid of Denver, but I kept Houston in there. But I want to emphasize that while there is no, what do we call it, moral victories, the Texans are at least little better.
It could be moral.
Yeah,
I like it.
That's right.
But so Texans are your 31?
Yeah, Texans.
Well, number 31 for me, which I have a feeling might be your 32.
Right.
Is the Cardinals.
Yes, it is.
And here's my quick synopsis.
All right.
Right? Come July, August of 2023, I think every single thing about this team will be different.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
I mean, all the way down to maybe team name, colors, logo. I have no idea how far they're going to go. But this will be the biggest cleaning of house I have ever seen because whatever this is right now is not working at all.
Let me tell you what. If I'm the owner of that team, I know they have a cheap reputation, so this is not going to happen because they are notoriously cheap. But if I own the team, Tony D owned the team, if I bought it tomorrow, the first thing I would do is get rid of that turf. I would go to every single company and go, I don't care. I'll write a check, whatever it is, roll away, get rid of it. I just want whatever is not going to tear ACLs of the guys I'm paying $40 million a year to play quarterback. So tear it up and put something in there. The second thing
something
I would do,
permanent. I mean, that grass that they grow.
Right.
I mean, they roll it. You know, it's grown outside. They roll it in for game day. They roll it back out. I was like, you know what? I don't think it's working for you.
I don't think it's working. So the other thing I would do is I would do what you just said. I'd clean house. Everybody's out. Everybody's out. Yeah. You got a Cardinals. I don't care. What do you do? I'm just in promotions. Gone. Sorry. What do you do? I clean the bathrooms. Out of here. Sorry. Secretary's been here for 30 years.
Cleaning bathrooms, Tony. Cleaning bathrooms. That's important. You can stay.
Well, you might be able to stay. 30-year secretary. He's been with the organization since we moved here from St. Louis.
Gone.
Bye-bye. I don't like the way you're answering phones. See you later. I don't care. I don't care.
I mean, that's what I said. Even down if you need to change the team logo.
I'd have a hiring fair at Arizona State. Every position is open. Kid, you've ever been a general manager? Come on in. This is a nice office, isn't it? You're taking over. That's exactly right. It feels like they've just kept making mistakes after mistakes after mistakes. Now, Grant, hindsight's 20/20, right? But this is yikes.
Well, I mean, I think what it is, too, is that it's that bitter taste. Because we looked at this team at the beginning of the season saying, this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
NFC West is going to be incredible. And the Niners were going to be the team in last.
Yeah. Right.
And then, so, you know, then the trade happened, and it was like, all right, now Seahawks will be last now. Niners will be there, and then, you know, it'll be a two-horse race between the Cardinals and the Rams. Boy, could we not have been more wrong.
I know.
I got those two teams in my bottom five.
I know. I'm right there with you.
Well, and then finally, number 32 for me, because, you know, they've earned it, and you've already put them in your bottom five, and that was the Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts.
Sorry. Yeah. And more specifically, it might just be Matt Ryan.
Oh,
this has got to be.
These are back-to-back weeks where,
I mean,
historical, like, it's going to fall on his shoulders because as a quarterback, you can't you can't stop the scoring, but you can move the ball enough to not leave time on the clock for them to accumulate the points.
And Tony, it's also the fact that, you know, we're going to equate this with the other comeback losses of his career.
That's right.
And, you know, it's like you have the worst one in NFL history. You have the worst one in Super Bowl history. You have the worst one in NFC Championship history. And you just, I don't even have the words to describe how bad I feel for Matt Ryan and that this is your legacy.
Yeah.
You went to one Super Bowl, but, you know, you just didn't lose. You lost with so much style and flair that we'll remember it forever. That other teams will make fun of you forever. And now, I mean, the good thing about, you know, 28-3 might be gone now from this game because 33-0 seems worse.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. 33-0, you got America turning off the game and looking to do something else and then running back to turn it back on because they're being told via Twitter or social media that the Vikings are making this comeback.
I can remember my Saturday. I forgot there was Saturday football.
Right.
Because, you know, we talked about it on Friday. Saturday rolls around, but my mind is elsewhere. It's like, oh, I got to take care of this, and this, because I want to free up my Sunday because World Cup final, got NFL. I get an alert on my phone that the Colts are up. I think the first alert I got, the Colts were up like 30-0. I was like, oh my God, against the Vikings? Are you kidding me?
Crazy.
And then the next alert was, you know, can the Vikings pull this off? Can Kirk Cousins pull this off? And I'm like, wait, I got to tune in now.
Yep, I was in. I was all in. All right, so the Vikings, that's in our bottom, the Colts, that's in our bottom five.
And to a point, it's probably more Matt Ryan and Jeff Saturday.
Probably, yeah.
I loved all the memes, like, you know, you can't do this a Saturday on a Saturday, and now everyone kind of walked those back quickly.
Right. Pete Futek, as I said before, said, I guess it's not that hard to do this. Yeah, it is pretty hard to do this. Yeah. You gotta keep it up. All right, so that's top five, bottom five. When we come back, we'll wrap up the hour more on the NFL as we get you set through your Tuesday. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, back here for you as we get ready for the wrapping up this hour. Top five, bottom five is in the books. All right, so we head into not only it's week 16 now, which starts on Thursday night. But now, like I mentioned earlier, the stretch run of the playoffs. So, the Chargers have the sixth seed in the AFC. The Dolphins have the seventh, and the Patriots and the Jets are on the outside looking at it, both at 7-7. In the NFC, the Seahawks and Lions are both 7-7. They're looking in. I kind of am rooting for the Lions to make the playoffs. I really am. I really, we've been on this Dan Campbell thing since the day he got hired, but I was afraid that train was going to disappear into the sunset because he just wasn't winning games. I was like, geez. Then the Seahawks, man, what a great story, but I don't see this ending in the way. Like, if you're a Seahawks fan, do you just take this as, hey, man, it was fun. Dude, it's better than I deserve. Like, we got rid of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Geno Smith wasn't supposed to be this good. But there is a point where an NFL team goes, gives you enough that you go, okay, well, we can't turn around now. Like, you've shown us you can win games. You've shown us you can be competitive in games. So we can't turn back. I think if you're a Giants fan, like my father's a Giants fan, I'm sure he's just loving the fact that they're in a late conversation for postseason berth. And if they were to divert from that, you go, well, okay, rookie coach, quarterback, we're not, you know, sure of some injuries. But at the same time, they've won eight games to a point where you say, look, I don't think we're going to the Super Bowl, but you can't reverse course in the final three. You've shown me enough, right? Same thing. I mean, same thing with the Seahawks. I think the Jets should say the same thing. By the way, hats off to Robert Saleh for admitting what we talked about yesterday about his mismanagement of the clock. You know, I think he probably heard what Bill Cowher was saying on CBS and went, okay, I probably didn't call timeout as much as I should. But I also think there's if you look at the AFC, just look at the AFC for a second. Now, again, I don't think some of these teams are going to make the playoffs. I'm not saying that they are. But because of the way, you know, right now they're not eliminated and they're kind of dancing around and they need some help, but they also control, obviously, what they need to control, and they also need some help. Think about these 6-8 teams for a second and what, or even 7-7. Let's go through. Well, the Patriots, push those off to the side. That was a team that made the playoffs last year, should have been around in the playoff conversation this year. The Jets were a team that was still going through a quarterback issue, a team that did a great job in April's draft, but playoff good? No, I don't think many people predicted that. Jacksonville with Doug Peterson, likely one of the top candidates for coach of the year. Trevor Lawrence starting to play like the quarterback, the NFL quarterback people thought he could be. Again, I go back to the Mark Long interview last hour when he said rookie minus because of what Urban Meyer did to him. That's a good story. You may not think that the Raiders are a good story to make the playoffs, given that with Josh McDaniels and Davante Adams and Chandler Jones, they should have been a team that's been competing with the Chiefs, pushing the Chiefs until the very end, and it just didn't work out that way. They're now a third team in that division, and they're two games back of the Chargers for second, so they're not even going to get that. But the way they started off, 7 of their 8 losses have been by single digits. So they're not we've never put them in the bottom five. Have we put the Raiders in the bottom five at all this season? I don't think either one of us has.
I might have just as a punishment, but
sure,
never legit.
But never like legit. Even when they were really, like when the records were, when it was like, holy cow, they're not winning anything. I don't think we ever did because there was something about them that was good enough, but not just couldn't get. But then you've got the Browns, you know, with Deshaun Watson, which by the way, has that not been the quietest emergence on the NFL scene? Like, I don't even know what he's done.
Yeah, no, he...
Right?
I think he finally threw a touchdown pass last week.
Yeah, but, against the Ravens.
Yeah, but that was like Saturday. That was the worst game of the weekend, really. The most boring game. I'm not going to say the worst game.
And then his week before, he didn't do anything against Houston. It was everything else that scored touchdowns for the Browns that allowed them to beat Houston. And then you've got the Steelers that are trying to avoid a losing season under Mike Tomlin with a rookie quarterback who's now concussed, and Mitch Trubisky is starting right now. So you've got these stories that are still interesting. Again, I don't think they're, you know, I think it's going to be very, very difficult because remember, if we think the Chargers are on the rise and we think the Dolphins are not coming down to earth, everyone's playing for two slots, right? Three, you know, everyone's playing. There's really nothing to play here. That's like the Ravens, Chargers, and Dolphins. I mean, who's going to give up a playoff spot from those three teams? right? I mean, look, if you're 7-7, right? You're not. Here's the thing: if you're 7-7 with three games remaining in the AFC, you're going up against two teams that are already a game up on you. So it's not like they're 7-7, you're 7-7, but like head-to-head matchup, you're down, or point differential, or whatever other metrics that they use. That's not what's happening here. You are one game back of the last team in the AFC wildcard with three remaining. So, and these teams are really strong teams. It's not like they're playing with house money here. The Dolphins are a legitimate team. The Chargers are legitimate. Ravens are legitimate. And the Ravens have a two-game lead over the 7-7 teams. It's interesting in the NFC because Giants are 8-5-1, but I don't know. Washington is 7-6-1. That's a half-game lead. The problem that you have if you're the Seahawks and the Lions is, let's say the Buccaneers come down a little bit, right? And then you have another team that's emerging up. Will the Bucs be a team that has a record similar to yours, but they're out, they don't win the division because of head-to-head? So that's what we're going for. 3 weeks left is a lot of stuff here. It's going to be fun to see how the huge list of things that need to happen for your team to make the playoffs if you're one of these outside-in teams. All right, we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, as we continue on an NFL Tuesday.